The word surrender in any language always seems to carry a negative meaning. Today, we'll examine how surrender can be a positive force in our life. Next on MemCare by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, and I'm glad that we could be together once again. Today, we have a devotional thought from Edmund Speaker on a very difficult subject. Edmund has many years in ministry, and I have appreciated the spiritual maturity and sensitivity that Edmund brings to any topic. Edmund himself has been through much sorrow in his life, from being a refugee of World War II to losing his youngest son, Fabio, in a tragic accident. Today, Edmund has a very penetrating and difficult question for us. To help us, let's consider this statement of Jesus. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Jesus made very clear demands for those who wanted to follow him. He let them know without a doubt that to be his disciple required a personal and total surrender. Surrender? Well, surrender is a word with a lot of negative connotations. It goes against the grain, doesn't it? None of us likes to give up. Surrender seems to indicate losing out, giving away the right to choose. So what's our reaction when things get really difficult and the price of discipleship seems much too high? That's the question Edmund will deal with as he discusses, how do you react when God rocks your boat? Edmund, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Scott, and thanks you, friends, for listening. How are you? Have you recently experienced one of those situations in life where God's ways don't make sense? Has God ever rocked your boat? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where even your theology didn't offer an answer? Jack and Dorothy, actually Jake and Dorothy, dear Christian workers in Latin America, went through a terrible tragedy. Their promising 18-year-old son, Kelly, was electrocuted before their very eyes. He was washing the dog. The dog's chain was attached to an air conditioner, not properly grounded, and Kelly was killed by the electric charge. Jake, his father, came immediately to his rescue, doing everything he could to revive him, but to no avail. Kelly Fair was pronounced dead upon arrival in the hospital. Jake and Dorothy turned numb and speechless. God had rocked their boat big time by taking the joy of their lives. How would they react? Kelly's funeral was in Canada, where the Fairs are from. And then during the funeral, it became evident that Kelly had not died in vain. His life and love for Jesus was well known and documented. While in Bolivia, he had been in touch with family and many friends through letters and emails, sharing his faith. His death became the reason for hundreds of people to dedicate their lives to God. The same had happened earlier in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, where Kelly studied. Several classmates testified of the impact that Kelly had on their lives. During those services in Canada and Bolivia, so many lives were impacted because of the shining testimony of the Fair family. Through death, Kelly was touching more people for Christ than he had ever reached before.
Well, Edmund, this is certainly been a tragedy. Many of us who knew Jake and Dorothy were very touched and just, I can't imagine what they went through, but in a way it still doesn't explain what happened. It really does not solve the mystery of why God permitted this.
You're right. I agree, Scott. Even as we believe that God sovereignly permitted this to happen and had his hand in the events, we can only confess that his ways are in the sanctuary too high, too hidden from our eyes.
Edmund, let's take an example of a person working overseas who learns a very close family member has just died. We experience many emotions during such a difficult time, but one emotion that I've seen played out over and again is one of anger, or even denial that a God could exist
because they reason a loving God could never allow such a death to happen. How do we counsel and comfort in these very difficult situations?
Scott, this is a tough one. You know, Marlene and I, we went through something very similar. And I would say probably a theological discussion can almost never happen when people have their minds, their emotion blocked because of pain. Speak about a miracle that has to happen in a moment like this. So I feel a prayer, definitely love them. Identify with them as much as you can and model what the Lord makes in your life, but don't come along as a teacher, as somebody. You know, it's so interesting. While the Lord was so gracious to us and I personally really had several experiences where the Lord almost rebuked me through his word to stop my thinking pattern in a certain direction, like he did with Moses when he was coming to the burning bush and he said, don't come near. Literally, this was a passage he used.
Right.
Or the other passage, like in 2 Corinthians 10, where Paul says, we take every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. This is discipline. But I think the moment this happens, if you are not grounded in faith, you are blown away. So I praise God that he really used your word that I knew so well to wash my own soul and cleanse. Now, it doesn't exactly answer your question, how do you help these people? I don't know that we can help. Mm-hmm. The Lord can help. But there is no doubt that this is a crisis, an existential crisis, that brings to the forefront and to the surface the deepest darkness and corners of our own heart. And so what happened to Israel in the desert, it's happening to many of us day by day. God is saying here, look your heart, here's a mirror. Now what will you do? Turn away from me or come back, say, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Right.
I don't believe. Help my unbelief. See, the people of Israel reacted in the desert. They didn't like it at all. There was murmuring. There was rebellion against God. There was idolatry. But God wanted to free his people from the slavery of their own sinful hearts. He knew they could not get rid from their evil imagination, appetites, lust, unless through the exercise of daily faith. You see, the reaction of Israel revealed their hearts. Their priority was the physical, the present world. The presence of God was considered less important. Friends, how we react when God rocks our boat will reveal in the end our heart, where our priorities lie. Our God is a personal God who watches over his children as a loving father. And he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He always says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. Therefore, when God rocks your boat, don't cling to the temporary, the physical, or whatever your boat may be. Rather, cling to the Lord. He is with you in the water, and he will bring you through. The Bible says, if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and honor on the day of his return. Friends, we are created for an eternity with God. Our life on earth is just a preparation for that. So suffering and even death are not the last thing in God's plan. God himself faced the worst thing on the cross, the death of his son Jesus. And out of that death, God brought forth a river of mercy, hope, life, forgiveness for anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He invites us to fully trust him, whatever the circumstances, whatever the pain. The Bible says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. I know today that Jake and Dorothy continue following Jesus. They are learning to deny themselves and to accept the cross. They have given their lives and their pain to the Lord. They are finding that he is faithful. I pray that you, dear friend, will do the same. Whatever may be the worst thing you face, give it to God.
This feature is a presentation of MemCare by Radio. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We would like to invite you to check out our website further. We offer other audio features and resources to help you in your work and ministry. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that we feel will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemCare by Radio and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.